Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Turn to somebody next to you and say it's good to be in the house of God this morning. Yes, it is. In Luke chapter 9, 51, it says, as the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Turn to somebody next to you and say, take me up, Jesus. If you want to move up to the next level, if you want to have an ascension experience, if you want to progress and move forward, then you need to resolutely set your face towards heaven. We need to have a hunger and a desire to see God move in our life, but be willing to set down the things that we need to set down in order to ascend. You can't ascend if you're carrying heavy burdens. You cannot ascend if you're carrying unforgiveness or bitterness or sickness. If you're clinging to anything that has not, that you were supposed to be set free from because of the blood of Jesus on the cross, you will not have the ability to ascend. So you need to set your face towards heaven. Make a decision. Resolutely decide that you will do anything that you need to do to get a hold of Him in this day. Heavenly Father, our one desire is to be in your presence. You are our only hope, our only answer, and our only light. Father, we seek only you. So move in this place as we resolutely set our face to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right, good morning, everybody. We just want to invite you to come and worship with us. If you want to move up to the front, you can. If you want to stay where you're at, that's perfectly okay. Shout it out loud, you are glorious.
Abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, right? We know that for a fact. So let's praise him like it. Let's worship him like it. Hallelujah. He's so able. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you guys know this part. Say, God is able. Everybody.
God is able to do just what he said.
Don't give up.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. Say, he's able.
Come on, we know he's able, right? Hallelujah. Come on and sing this out with me. Hey,
he is able.
Come on, y'all. I know it's 9 o'clock, but we can still give God glory. Come on, out. Sing, God is able.
God is able to do just what he said.
Anybody got a prayer this morning that you feel like he's able to do it? Come on, just sing it out. Sing. Hallelujah.
He's able.
Because he's so able. You've done it before, so I know that you'll do it again. So everybody sing it out with me. Sing, oh. Oh. Oh.
He's able.
Come on and sing it out. Sing it out. Because it's a noise that changes things. Come on and sing it out. Oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh.
Yes, he is. Oh, 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 oh,
oh.
Come on, come on. Sing, he is able.
He's able.
Yes, he is able. To pick me off the ground, to shake me up a little, to turn me around and plant me on solid ground. Sing, he is able. Yes, he is able. No matter what the doctor says, I know for a fact. No matter what my bank account says, I know for a fact that he is able. Yes, he is able. I feel this real quick. Hey, sing, he is alive.
He's alive.
He is alive.
He's alive.
My God is not dead.
He's alive.
Yes, he is alive.
He's alive.
For I know that
he's alive.
He rose on the third day.
He's alive.
Yeah.
He's alive.
Yes, he is alive.
He's alive.
For my God is living.
He's alive.
Yes,
he's
he
alive.
Is. Go back to he's able, come on. Sing, he is able.
He's able.
Yes, he is able.
He's able.
Yes, he is able.
He's able.
Oh, he is able.
He's able.
To heal my broken heart.
He's able.
To heal my broken body.
He's able.
To heal my finances.
He's able.
Yes, he is able.
He's able.
The relationships in my
he's
life.
Able.
He's able to take me out.
He's able.
Come on, if you believe it. Let me hear you sing it.
He's able.
Sing, he is able.
He's able.
Oh, 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 oh.
He's able.
Yeah, yeah.
He's able.
One more time, let's just sing. Oh,
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 oh. He's able.
Sing, oh, yeah. Come on, I need every soul in here to sing this out right now.
Whoa.
Hallelujah. Lord, we give you the highest praise. Even if it just be our own. Hallelujah. Come on, sing, don't give up.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up.
Come on, somebody needs to hear that. Just sing that one more time. Don't give up.
Don't give up on God.
No matter what it looks like. Cause my God won't give up on you. Sing, don't give up.
Don't give up on God.
Cause he alive and he is able. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus to come and die to save us from our sins. But more importantly, God, we thank you that he didn't stay in the grave, God, that he rose again and he is seated with you right now in the heavens. So, Father, we just thank you.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on a cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? And we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. And we sing hallelujah. And we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb. Was rolled away.
His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? My resurrected King, He rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorious. The Lamb has overcome. Sing it out, guys. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. And we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, the Lamb has
thank you.
take you to the top. Sing, you're more real than.
You're more real than.
The wind.
The wind in my love. You're more real than the ground I'm standing on.
Sing, your thoughts define me.
Your thoughts define me. You're inside of me. You are my reality.
You are my reality.
Many times during the week we pray, it's usually, God, I need this. God, I'm situation with this. Lord, I have a problem with this. You see, these are the moments called worship. There's a difference between praise and worship. Praise is thanking him for what he's done. Worship him is thanking him for who he is. And Abba, I belong to you. And so you're actually singing right to him. You know, some people here have intimacy problems. You struggle with intimacy. These are the places right here where you can worship God in spirit and in truth and actually have a breakthrough in every facet of your relationships. I'm talking at home, with your kids, with everything. Because the more you break into that relationship with God, the more it affects literally every portion of your life. Some of you have never sung to God, or you're just singing the words. But I just want to take it just one more time. Is that all right? Just for the next 3 minutes. Close your eyes, and I just want you to sing to God. Just Him. Just you and Him. If you need to sit, sit, stand, stand. It really doesn't matter the posture of your physical body. But I want you to sing to Him. Just to Him. While you're doing that, there's a person dealing with arthritis in your left wrist. That's going to be healed. There's a person, while you're worshiping, you're having a toothache on the bottom of your jaw on your left-hand side. God's going to heal you, that toothache. He's going to take that abscess out. Father, I know that as we are in your presence, there is the power to do everything we need. Lord, there are people here that have diseases on their body that only you can take off. And I pray, Father, that as we're in the presence of Jesus, that, Lord, you are just going to drive out every sickness and every disease. In Jesus' name. Lord, there are people that are dealing with turmoil in their life. We speak peace in Jesus' name. There are people that are struggling with demons, God, literal demons, addictions, struggles, Lord. They hear whispering in their ear and they're not crazy in the head. Devils are trying to kill them. In the name of Jesus, we command the spirits to be quiet. Lord, I just thank you that this morning you're in this place. And we just want you to know, Abba, Father, we belong to you. Come on, let's worship. Just sing you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus. Come on, shut everybody else off. Who cares? Just you and Jesus.
I belong to you.
Ah, Jesus. Times, just you and him, just you and him, just you and Jesus. Just you and him. Abba.
I belong to you.
Mea tu brete kiriam dundersha.
Abba.
worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. I sense in my spirit this morning when I was up early, God's brought some of you to a new place in your relationship with Him, and He's asking you to surrender that one portion of your life that you constantly, you fight Him on. He told me some of it is sin. Some of you, you have that sin that so easily besets you, and you just choose not to. You choose not to give that to Him. And then there are some of you, you got those portions of your life deep in your heart that honestly, you've been so wounded, you haven't told anybody about them. And God is saying, you know, I can heal that if you let me. I can change that if you let me. I can get in there and it won't be painful when you think about it any longer. But you see, we can't. He won't step over the bounds that we give Him. And when we sing this song, it just is simple. It's, Father, I belong to You. And one thing you can know about Jesus is this. He's never going to do anything that's going to bring harm to you, only good to you. And if He wants to meddle in your life and He wants to have you surrender that portion, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you might be losing something in your head, but God's going to give you something so much better. You're going to say, I wish I had done that a long time ago. See, I believe these are the important parts of the service right here. Because this is where God changes us from the inside out. I love preaching, baby. I can preach for 2 hours at a clip. Not a problem. But these are the moments where it's just you and Him. And you got to give Him those moments. He's not the candy man, you know what I mean? He's God. And we've given our lives to Him. And He really wants to touch you. I think one of the hard parts, you don't mind me babbling just for Ted, it's one of the hard parts as a pastor is watching people, and I'm going to preach on it this morning, that have fire in their spirit because God literally transformed their life. And then over time, you watch the fire dissipate and you watch it disappear. And all of a sudden, you just see them, they're not even participating in the house of God anymore. They're just there. I thank God they're there because they're in a good hot spot to be nailed by God. But Jesus has so much for you, man. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. And the more the song becomes a reality to you, let me show you. Can I prove it to you? You know that moment when it got really quiet? When you started feeling uncomfortable, it showed your level of intimacy with God. See, He let it go quiet for a while because that's going to show your engagement in intimacy with God Himself. So when that became very uncomfortable for you, that was your threshold of intimacy with God. Some of you didn't even get there. You were thinking about the roast at home. Your dog stubbed his toe this morning. You never even touched God. And the problem with that is that the reason we have corporate worship isn't just so we can have corporate worship. We do this because, honestly, this is where we get filled up to go out there and kick the devil's butt all week long. We need that intimacy with God. We need the presence of God. We need Him to touch us. We need Him to fill us. Abba, which is the most intimate terminology in the Aramaic for Father. I belong to You. make me who you've called me to be. And when you do that, man, I'm telling you, it changes everything. It stops being religion to you. And it really is good. God is good. God is good and he loves you. And this morning, I've got a great word from you from the Lord. And I pray it's going to really stir some of you. I've been concerned for some of you. Can I just share that? I've been concerned for some of you. As your pastor, as the spiritual father of the house, you always want to see people accelerate, not decelerate. And you want to see people connect, not disconnect. You want to see people on fire, not a flicker. And I've been concerned for some of you. Some of you, I just want to grab and slap around a little bit and say, you know better. You know better. And some of you, you just need the hug. Some of you need a boot in the hind end. Glory to God. But man, it all comes down to it doesn't really matter about the pastor. It really matters about you and Christ. And this morning, I'm concerned for some of you. I really am genuinely concerned. And my heart is for you, and I'm praying for you. I just want you to know that. I'm praying for you. Because God's got far more than you're allowing him to be in your life. And it's time to move forward. Amen? I said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. On your way back to your chair, we're not going to do meet and greet this morning. I'm sorry. We went long, and I got to preach at least 2 hours before the next service begins. So if you'll go back to your seat, turn around to the person behind you and say, he stopped meet and greet, but I wanted to say good morning.
If the people of God started handling money God's ways. You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it! I am not going to live like this anymore.
Make sure you're bringing candy for the candy drive.
We are hosting our first annual candy drive happening October 21st. We want to encourage you to bring in one bag or 12 bags of candy and drop it in the big bucket in the foyer as you come into church that day. Thanks.
Jesus wants to see your friends and family come to salvation even more than you do. That's why this year at Welcome Home Weekend, we've got 4 opportunities for your friends and family to be saved. On Friday, September 21st at 6:30, the 22nd at 4, and the 23rd at our 9 and 11 a.m. services, we're putting on the production called Life's Choices. It's kind of like Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, but with our own His Tabernacle family twist. On September 22nd, there's our Welcome Home Weekend celebration starting at 2 p.m. We're going to have family fun games and food and inflatables for the kids to come out to. I hope to see you there.
Good morning, family. Listen, you guys know I like it loud, so I'm going to ask you again. Good morning, family. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning to you, too. We're so happy to have you in the house this morning, family. Turn to your family member next to you and say good morning. Give them a high five. That was almost like synchronized. It was really cool. We want to thank you all for joining us this morning. Thank you for those that are on live stream. Wherever you are family extended. So we want to thank you for joining us this morning. You're going to be blessed. We love you right here from the main campus.
Also, if you are a guest, I know I saw some guests this morning on your way in, but if you did not get a gift from us this morning on your way in, and we might have missed you or you snuck in, if you're a guest in the house this morning, if you could just raise your hand up, we'd like to get you a gift and information. Jillian Dykes, you are my daughter, so you're not a guest. Anybody else? We got one right back here. Raise your hand up. Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Who is it? Oh, yeah, there we go. Awesome. So listen, for those guests that are in the house this morning, we do have a guest reception right after the service. If you'd like to stick around, it gives us a chance to get to know you. But on the wall, on the other side, you can't see there because there are walls there. But to your right, go out the door, down the hallway, you'll be able to see where we're at. But we'd like to get to know you. We have some refreshments, some coffee in there for you. Give us a chance to talk with you. Amen. Can we give our guests a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for joining us. Amen. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. I wanted to give you a shout. Pastor Rhonda's watching from Houston, Texas right now. If you can give Pastor Rhonda a hand clap. My wife and I returned from New Brunswick, Canada. We were up there last week. We have a young man and a young lady who started a church, and they asked us to be their pastors. And so we went up, and we're helping them launch their church, start their church. And so it was exciting as we were able to see just on Sunday morning, four people gave their heart to Jesus Christ. And the church is, I think the church is running like 45 now. So we were able to add four people to the house of God just in a weekend. Isn't it exciting? So thank you for allowing us to go. And I don't know, I heard Pastor Cody just crushed it anyways. Somebody said to me this morning, it must be hard knowing your son preaches better than you. And actually, it's not. I want all of the staff to be better than me. Amen? There's nothing better than having a staff that when you go away, they have a greater move of God than when you're there. So I'm just excited to be able to be part of a phenomenal team of men and women of God called His Tabernacle Family Church staff. Can you give the staff a hand clap as well? We're missing the Bible school students. There are some of the Bible school students. We have Bible school students down in down near New York City. They had 93 people give their hearts to Jesus Christ yesterday on the streets. So this morning, His Tabernacle is in Horseheads, New York, Ithaca, New York, Houston, Texas, and down in New York City. Isn't that cool? I want to remind you that, how many of you know at least five people that if they died today probably are not going to go to heaven? You're not being judgmental. This, the fruits of their life, it's pretty clear. They don't know God. This next weekend is so important for you. Welcome home weekend. We made it a weekend because we want to make it so that you can invite your friends. This production is a little startling. It's not funny. It's a startling one about eternity. Many people don't think about eternity until somebody's died. That's why you see a lot of people saved, like when 9/11 happened. And you see a lot of people saved at funerals. Why? Because their mortality becomes more of a reality. But we'd encourage you to bring them this week. You might only get somebody to come Friday night. That's okay. Whatever day you can get them to come, we want you to bring your friends. Bring at least five people over the weekend. That means you're going to have to get busy this week. And these cards are available for you. Plus, there is a stake-off. Now, I just want you to know, I want to be a judge. Yeah, you too? Who are the judges? Who? Are you a judge? You wanted me to? Who are the judges of this stake-off? Now, Pastor Cody can't be because he is one of the persons cooking the steak. Are you not going to cook steak? Well, I'm not going to eat for 2 days. Glory to Jesus. How many of you are part of the fasting and prayer? Wow, was that phenomenal? 4 days fasting and prayer. You know, I have a challenge that I have is fasting is really not a big deal for me. So yesterday I fasted TV. I think I'm one finger short. I chewed it off. Fasted television yesterday. I want to encourage you to live a fasted lifestyle.
You know, today as we're getting ready to receive the offering, I just want to let you know we're the vision of His Tabernacle is very large. We believe that God's going to increase this church, not to where we are. There were about 760 people in-house last week. So doing both campuses, there are over 800 people in-house, plus 200 to 300 people watching online, plus about 10 to 15,000 watching on television, plus the young people we bust in this week, up to 200 to 225 children we bust in this week between Wednesday and Thursday. So all of this is small. I want you to hear somebody say, that's small vision. Tell somebody else, that's small vision. The vision of His Tabernacle is large because we have the mind of God. What's the mind of God? He wills that not one should perish. God doesn't want one person not going to heaven. And going to heaven isn't, well, I believe in God. The Bible says even the devils believe in God and tremble. The only way to get to heaven is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is an exclusive relationship. I want you to know that. People say there are a lot of ways to heaven. That's a lie. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. It's the name of Jesus. So because the vision is large, we need people to have the heart of God also of obedience. And that is walking in the principles of tithing, sowing, and alms. And we want to encourage you to be a person that is going to be a person of vision. There's nothing more exciting than participating with something that's larger than yourself. And the kingdom of God is huge. Now, what I love about the Lord is He's not going to ask you to do something and then penalize you for doing it. When God asks you to tithe, it's because He said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing you cannot contain. When you sow, the Bible says, as a man sows, that shall he also reap. When you be given alms, the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, because what you're doing in private, God's going to reward you publicly. What's amazing is every time you look at giving in the Word of God, you find that God is here to bless you. So some of you have just, because maybe you don't have money, that's not true. Everybody's got some money, or you couldn't be here today. I challenge you to obey God in tithe and watch what He's going to do. It's the only place in Scripture that God says, prove me in this thing. I'll prove myself. There's nothing He can't do for your life. And I challenge you, because every time giving is talked about in the Bible, reward is also available and willing to be given. So open up this morning. Maybe you've never tithed a day in your life. Today is your day to tithe. Can you turn to someone and say, today is my day? Well, I don't believe in tithing. Well, I'm sorry. Don't blame the pastor. You know, everybody says, well, you know, that church, all they want is your money. Don't blame me. Blame God. God said it, not me. I'm just reading from the Scripture. I challenge you, obey, and you'll see God's blessing in your life. Amen. How many of you are tithers and you see God blessing your life? Amen. I challenge. How many of you? Listen now. I don't mind you. I don't mind your raise. How many of you tithed and saw God just ripped you off? Well, that's a good sign too. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. I challenge you to be a tither today. Tithe and sow and give to the kingdom of God. You'll see God's blessing chase you down and trip you up. Here's the blessing that we always declare, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's shout it out loud. If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. If you're watching by live stream, this is your moment. You know, God told me years ago that somebody from online is going to sow $1 million to pay this building off. And I challenge if God's been speaking to you to do this, to do exactly that. You know, if this is your church, this is where you tithe. So make sure you jump right off there, hit that giving button and tithe. I believe in God that all the people, 200 to 300 every single week, watch this online, that you'll start tithing.
that will enable us to do far more for the kingdom of God, reach more souls for Jesus. Make sure you are a tither. Remember, if you give, it shall be given. Have a great day.
Glorious. Shout it out.
Praise the Lord. I like the fact that I can still stand up here and be nervous. I think I've been preaching for 31 years and I still get nervous when I preach. You know, the reason I do is because you got to know the responsibility, and that is that I'm handling God's word. And for me, it's not just preaching. Because I don't know, do you know that pastors, you can actually buy a book? Did you know that? You can actually buy a book. And it has a sermon for every week for the whole year. You don't even have to study. You just got to buy the book. There's also a place you can get it online where you can just buy an online sermon each week. But for me, I believe that as my job is to hear from God for you. This is the year of... Well, that was so sad. I said, this is the year of... Hi, Susan. Can I have a hug? I love Susan. She worked on the staff for a whole year. We love you so much. You changed your hair again. It looks very nice. Yes. Praise the Lord. So I just give a shout out to my wife watching from Houston. Rhonda, I love you. Thank you for being my wife and putting up with me. Thank you, Brother Terry. This morning, my concern in the divine connection reality is that we must know that Satan wants to steal your faith. It's one thing that you give your heart to Jesus. It's another thing to continue. It's one thing to have a true God experience. It's another thing to sustain it. And many people don't sustain their relationship with Christ. You know, honestly, we could probably fill His Tabernacle Family Church at least, I don't even think I'm exaggerating, over the last 20 years, we could probably fill it at least 3 or 4 times
with the amount of people that have walked down to the front of the altar, given their hearts to the Lord, I'm not talking like they did it because somebody made them. I'm talking a genuine God experience where truly they were transformed inside, where Christ came and lived within them. They became the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yet, over time, they did not sustain. The devil stole their faith. There's a need to pay attention to the enemy of our soul. Now, we don't need to be afraid of him, but the Bible says we need to be aware of him. That we have to pay attention to the weariness and the slyness of the enemy of our soul, because his passion is to come in and to make sure either that you don't go to heaven or to make sure you don't bring anybody with you. This faith that God gives us allows us to make this divine connection with heaven. And this is what Satan hates the most. Because he was cast out of heaven, he was one that no longer has the right to be in the presence of God, in the essence of sonship or even in blessing. He hates every single one who does. So therefore, we must understand, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. We fight not against flesh and blood. People don't like to talk about the demonic. They don't like to talk about demon spirits, but they're as real as angels. Yet their job is opposite. We know their job description is very clear. John chapter 10, verse 10. The devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. And what is he trying to steal, kill, and destroy but your faith? Because if the devil has your faith, if the devil can steal your faith, then he's got everything else. So we've got to pay attention to our faith. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, having faith, shout faith. That was sad. I said, shout 1 week off and you get quiet on me. I thought we're Pentecostals, amen? You know, somebody came to the church, they brought their friend to church, and the friend left like halfway through the service. And they talked to him later on and said, you know, what'd you go for? They said, you guys are a little bit rambunctious. I want you to know we are rambunctious, because when you get to heaven, I hope you know it's not going to get quiet up there. Can you imagine getting to heaven? Those folks get to heaven and they go, God, you need to quiet down. It's too loud in heaven today. Shout faith! Having faith and a good conscience. What's a good conscience? That means that you're living in obedience to the Word of God. Listen, if you're not in obedience to the Word of God, then your faith automatically suffers. Now, it's one thing to have a sin that so easily besets you, but to live a lifestyle of sin postures you to where your faith will become eroded and destroyed, and therefore you will do exactly what this verse says, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, concerning the faith, having suffered shipwrecked. You see, the devil desires to shipwreck your life. You know, after the storms that we had just recently, I went on a bicycle ride, and I saw a boat that was sunk down in Montour Falls. And then not too long after that, I saw it on Craigslist. Sunk boat. They didn't put the price, but I had to juggle. But you see, who wants to buy the sunken boat? Jesus likes to buy sunken boats because he has the ability to fix the holes. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But the truth is that God did not create you to sink. God did not create you to flounder. God did not create you in the aspect of relationship with him to be fired up for Christ and then slowly disappear, and you sink in the bay. God's desire is that you remain consistent and solid and constantly growing in love with him, growing in passion with him. You see that passion in the fire, the genuine experience you had with Jesus. Other people can doubt it, but you know what you've got. You know what God did in your life. You know how he changed you. You know the fire that he put within your heart. You know the reality of who God is because you had a genuine God, supernatural experience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. When that happens, it changes your life. Jesus is alive to you at that point in time. The Word becomes alive to you at that point in time. You see, your hunger is alive. The Bible says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. You see, this is all what happens when you truly experience the living God, not religion, but a true God that loves you passionately. And when you got saved, He put a fire within your bones. He put a fire within your heart. I've got to know God. This is real to me now. This is not the Sunday school class I went to when I was 5 years old. My mom and dad made me go to. But God touched my life. I am not the same person. You see, that God experience is what He has placed within your heart. Man, you know it. You became so dangerous. You started telling everybody they're going to hell. Well, I got saved yesterday at church, and you're not. You're going to hell. You got that fire in your bones. Like Jeremiah, I got a fire shut up in my bones. Man, it was real to you. Some of you have been saved too long. You know, like the married couple. They've been married so long, they haven't kept their passion high. They don't even make visitations any longer. They're just cohabitating. You see, God desires not to cohabitate with you. God desires to have a fire in your heart for Him. God desired for you to have passion in your life, not just when you got saved, but all the way until you fought the good fight of faith, all the way to the end. You see, the devil knows that if he can pull the fire, if he can pull the flame, if he can pull the passion, watch now, if he can steal your faith, you might make it, but he's not going to worry a bit about your life. This is the problem, because you've not been saved just to go to heaven. If you were saved just to go to heaven, the moment you got saved, you dropped dead. How many of you are glad you didn't get saved just to go to heaven? And it's really hard growing a church like that. You know, we do an altar call, just as I am without one plea. All of a sudden, 20 people come up to give their hearts to the Lord. They give their hearts to Jesus. Boom, they all drop dead. You can't build a church that way. See, what happens is you are saved because God's got divine purpose for you. God's got a divine connection, not just for you, but that you become the divine connection for somebody else so that you can lead someone else to the Savior, so they will become a connection to somebody else. You see, your life has great purpose. Your life has great meaning. Your life has to have fire because, man, I want you to know something. When you go to start a fire in the fireplace, you got to have fire. You can have all the sticks, all the bundles. You can even have the paraffin wax. Jesus breaks every fetter. I don't know. Have you found those new things that are at Walmart? It's like a bundle. And it's just like, but it's just covered with paraffin. They are God's saving grace for all people who own wood fires. So I put that in the fire and I lit it. But there's something about that that's different. You see, when I put that paraffin thing in there, that little bundle, I put it in, and I light it, it goes. But guess what happens after a very short period of time? It's gone. And that's what happened to a lot of you. God truly, genuinely touched you. There was fire in your bones. But now, I mean, you go to church, but you got no fire. You're not going to light anything on fire. You're just trying to stay warm yourself. You're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And God is saying, listen, that's not what I came into your life for. That's not what I saved you for. That's not what I want to do in your heart. Listen, I've got so much more abundantly above all you could even ask or even imagine God has for you, but He can't give it to you if you will not foster the fire. You see, this is the call that's in our life, because the enemy's goal is to destroy your faith, to destroy your fire. Listen now, he must make you a mundane, infertile, fireless saint of God. Let me read that again. I don't know, maybe we're having a lighting shortage.
Here we go. Satan must make you a mundane. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. You came to church this morning. You know the people who tell me, well, I just watch it on TV. You're mundane. If you can watch God's house on TV and that's how you get filled, you live in a mundane Christian lifestyle. That means ordinary works for you. The problem is, unless you become extraordinary, you are never going to truly change anybody. There are a lot of mundane, ordinary people. You come to the house of God, you stand there with your hands in your pocket, looking at your watch. My goodness, they went 10 minutes over this morning. That kid up there, he sang the same chorus over and over and over again. Did he forget the words? Well, you know, my wife made me come. You know what? He better be done on time or I'm leaving. My son was recently preaching at a church, and at the time the church was supposed to end, Cody was still preaching. People literally got up and left. Mundane. The body of Christ has slid into a place of sleep to where, man, the devil is happy because if he can bring the fire out of you to where you are no longer affecting, afflicting, or force firing anybody, then you are just a mundane Christian. And he's okay with that because he's only lost one. But every one of us are saved for a dynamic purpose. And that is that you've been placed in a circle of influence. That you and you alone have the ability to carry that anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. He's given you a word for the people around you. He's given you a lifestyle of fire and excitement and a passion for Jesus that is real and not fake. They can deny religion all they want, but they cannot deny the fire that's in your bones and the reality of God who burns inside of you. That is the fire of God. And the fire, if the devil can steal your faith, your fire flickers but never has any flame to it. You see, if he can make you mundane and infertile, fireless in your faith, then you'll just be another person that comes to church. Listen now, there are a lot of churches. There are a lot of churches that have no fire. Well, that's just a different lifestyle. Really? I don't believe that, personally. You see, Pastor, you're just the more outgoing. I'm actually really not. I mean, it always looks that way because I'm out and going. But if you come to my house on a Sunday afternoon, or the whole family's at the house, come on. I am in my man cave room, sitting in my chair by myself. And I'm all right with that. Now, it's not that I don't love my family. I spend a lot of time with my family. I enjoy my family. But man, everybody thinks, well, he's just this guy that's just his personality. Listen now, when it comes to Jesus, I don't care what my personality is. It's his personality that matters. And I don't know who you are, but if I handed you $1 million this very moment, you wouldn't go, that's nice. There would at least be a chuckle. There would at least be a smile. There would at least be a woo! There would at least be, do I have to tithe this? You gave it to me, right? That was really funny. You know what the problem is? I can't repeat those in second service because I never remember them. So here we have the body of Christ, man. That's you. You remember the day you got saved. You remember when God changed your life. Yet over time, you've become mundane and infertile, and you've become a fireless saint of God. You come to church because you've come to church. The devil has stolen your faith. No, I'm still saved, yeah, but he's stolen a level of your faith that would allow you to be a life transformer. Faith is small. Listen, the Bible says you can measure faith. O ye of little faith, O ye of great faith. And the disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. The Bible said every man's been given a measure of faith. The devil wants to get enough faith out of you so you become this infertile, fireless saint of God where you do not make a difference. You come to church, you might make it to heaven, you're really not sure. Oh, now let me, can I just say this? I just because I want to say this. There's nothing more cruel than just being saved enough. Because watch, that means when you they sink you down into the ground, they're wondering, did they make it or not? Live your life with enough faith so they know you made it all the way. You see, this slow descent, this erosion, the enemy's smart enough to know he's not going to just come in and to barrel you down because then you're going to get stubborn and mean and nasty. So he's going to come in and slowly wet the wood. He's going to come in slowly and bring erosion to the ground. He's going to come in slowly and bring the descent to where it's not going to be alarming or scary. It's just going to be a normal thing. The things of the world are going to slowly start taking stronger precedence than the things of God. You're going to start trading what you would never have traded before. That time in the Bible, that time in prayer, that time in church. Now, man, coming to church is like a luxury every once in a while when you decide that it works for you and God. That's that slow descent. And the enemy is so wise because he knows if he did it when you first got saved, you'd have said, no stinking way. I am not going to back down. I'm all the way for Jesus. I'm going to follow God with my whole heart, my body, my mind, my body, and my strength. And I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. I'm going to go all the way. See, that's how you started. That was the fire you started with. But now you've got that little flicker going on. And the flame has been slowly eroded to the place where, baby, you're just not sure. You are coming to church. And thank God. I just need you to know that that's not just you doing that. That there is an actual diabolical plot against your life. What? There are demons? There are demons that have been assigned to your life. They've been assigned to your family with a specific job. If they can't destroy your faith, at least erode it to the place where there is no more fire. If you judged your own heart, the Bible does say, judge yourself. Do you have less fire today than you had when you first got saved? Are you as passionate for God, for His house, for His word, for people? Or do you have less, yet you excuse it because of this? Excuses. Well, you know, you can't keep the fire going. That's not true. Well, you know, when you get married, you're passionate, insanely in love. And when you hit 30 years, you know, you're not as in love as you were. That's not true either. You can be as passionately in love and sexually active after 30 years of marriage than you were the very first year and not prior. That was free. The enemy knows if he can steal your faith, if he can steal your fire. That's how it works. You see, when he steals your fire, you no longer are feeding the correct thing. What you feed grows. Oh, listen, man, I've heard every excuse in the world.
Well, Pastor, I'm training my dog.
Here's my favorite one.
Pastor, it's thundering out.
No, really, I had a 50-year-old woman say that to me once. I could do nothing but laugh. What are you going to do? What can you do?
Well, Pastor, I was offered 30 cents more an hour.
Really? You traded your faith for 30 cents an hour? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Well, Pastor, my spouse told me I can't go to church anymore.
Then tell your spouse where the bear pooped in the woods. Because God's called you to follow God, not the man or the woman.
Well, Pastor, my children don't like your church.
Tell your child they ate your bread in the morning, used your toilet paper at night, get your butt to church, and if you don't like it, I'm going to sit you on the front row, and if he spits on you three times, maybe a Holy Ghost fire will burn in your heart. My son, Chad, Pastor Chad, he sat over on this side playing video games. I don't know how often he was stoned when he came to church. But the fact was, you're going to church. You don't like it? That's your problem. Oh, you don't want to come to church? That's all right. You have another place to live, I'm sure. Someone else wants to pay your bills. I know that, right? Listen, you have all the excuses in the world, but there comes a place when you start recognizing in your own heart, you got to be real with yourself. And that is, something's going on with my fire. I'm trading my fire for strange fire. You know what happened, right? When the priest's sons offered strange fire, they lost their life. When believers offer strange fire, they lose their life. I'm almost done. That's just not true. Forgive me, Father, for lying this morning before you and your holy angels. I want to take you on a quick adventure, if you don't mind. It's called the spiritual spiral. I believe we have some things for the wall. Spiritual spiral is a reality. It's the attacks of witchcraft, seven steps to defeat. Next slide. Okay, I'm going to instruct those that are in, there you go. I'm going to instruct those that are in the media department. You need to pay attention to me now. So when I give you a shout, I need you to roll on, okay? There's only three anyways. This spiral is powerful. Because the scary part about a spiral is once you start down, it's very hard to climb out. Not that you can't. Not that God just simply won't pull you out. But you've got to be aware that this is your enemy. Satan desires to get you on the spiral of spiritual descent, the loss of fire. And if he can get you on that flow, then you are going to slowly, slowly, the word is slow. I said the word is slow. The word is, come on, he's going to slowly snuff out your fire. He starts with this, discouragement. When it seems you are being attacked on every side and there's no way out, even though your circumstances are not have not really changed, you're probably entering the first level of the attack of witchcraft. The next thing he'll do is this, he'll bring confusion in your life. An increasing state of confusion, again, for apparently no reason. At this level, we begin to lose the clarity of God's call in our life, which begins to weaken our desire to stand. This compounds the discouragement and prepares us for the next level, which is depression. At this point, our spiritual disciplines seem to slip and we fall further into the pit of discouragement and confusion. This is very prevalent in the church, which leads to very quickly to this, the loss of vision. At this level, we begin to doubt if God has even called us at all. Am I even saved at all? Was it real what God did in my life at all? This is the goal of the previous attacks and leads us to spiritually wandering in circles when we really need to be on the straight and the narrow. Sadly enough, there are some of you in the room right now, and I can, you know, what's amazing to me is one of my calls in life is as a shepherd is to be able to watch the sheep. As the shepherd of the house, as the spiritual father of the house, my job is to be able to see where you're at. And that's not just natural seeing, that's spiritual seeing. And sadly, what's amazing is it's extremely overwhelming to me. And one of the most difficult portions of pastoring is looking out and seeing people that once had the fire of God burning in their heart, and now they're at this place. They have no vision anymore. It's evident because coming to church is a struggle now. Open your Bible is a struggle now. The ministry you used to do, you don't do. In fact, let me tell you, one of the very first flags that we always get is that you step away from your ministry. The moment someone steps away from their ministry, I automatically set a watch on their life and I start praying for them more heavily. Why? Because the moment someone steps away from their ministry and they don't join another one immediately, they start losing the vision. Which means the fire is now starting to be suppressed. Incapacitation, the previous attacks lead us to a place where we no longer hear from the Lord. The scripture no longer speaks to us, and the anointed messages just seem dead. That's why two people can be sitting next to each other and one say, "Wow, that was a Holy Ghost powerful, life-transforming message," and the other person says, "I didn't feel a thing." Withdrawal. At this level, we begin to withdraw not only from our call, but also from the church, friends, and even family members. Watch this. The very first person that you start ignoring when you're walking away from the Lord is the pastor. No, really, that's the truth. It's the funniest thing in the world. You don't even know you're doing it. I'll send you a note. "Hey, how you doing?" "Nothing." "Pastor Dan will reach out to you." "Nothing." You think you're sly. You ain't sly. You're in withdrawal. Your Christian friends are now replaced by your bar friends. The people you got rid of because you knew that they were toxic in your life to grow up spiritually, now you've reintroduced them into your life, and slowly that fire is being submerged, and now it is saturated with wetness, and now you no longer, oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Ah, please hear me. It breaks the heart of Jesus because he loves you so desperately. Hopelessness, as we withdraw from God and those closest to us, this leads quickly to hopelessness. We are now a loner from the pack and can easily be targeted and taken it out, which leads to that Jesus stuff just doesn't work for me. You know, I thought it was real. I served God once, you know, I was really passionate. You know, I can tell you it was real, but you know, it just isn't alive today. You know, it's not for me. Oh, that pastor. You know, it it's all about money to him. Well, you know, that pastor, it's all about just growing a big church to him. Listen now, you weren't saying that when I was calling you, when you called out for help, and I was there when I was praying for you, when Pastor Dan was at the hospital for you. But you see, something's changed. It's not the circumstances that changed. It's the fire and the faith that changed. It's amazing. When fire goes out, all you see is darkness. When fire is not as bright, all you see is shadows. You start believing more in the shadows than you do in the light. And you can blame everybody and everything, but the truth comes down to is you allowed Satan to steal your faith. You allowed Satan to steal your fire. And when the fire is gone, your faith is not far behind. And just like in a marriage, you have to invest in your marriage. You have to spend time with your spouse. Man, they make you mad. There's nobody that can make you mad like your spouse. Listen now, I'm watching couples stare at each other. Go get a room. You need it. This is all about you and I. And some of you, I'm scared for you. I'm just as your pastor. And if I'm scared for you, know Jesus is scared for you. But you got to get back. You got to get back. You got to get back into the Word. You got to get back and build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to make the house of God again a priority in your life. Man, this is you can say all you want, but if the house of God is not a priority to your life, then God's not a priority to your life. Listen, I know money's a priority to your life, and you go to work every day. Whatever the priority of your life is where you put your time and your money. And God is saying, listen, the devil is stealing your faith. It's been a slow descent. Listen, I want to grab you. I want to arouse you in your spirit. I want to breathe on that fire that's in your heart. I want you to know that I've not given up on you, that I've not walked away from you. I don't care what your brain says. I don't care what the descent says. I want you to know if you call upon me, I'm right there. I want the fire, not just what you were, but what you can be. It's God desires your life. I'm just concerned. It's not all of you, but this is a message for all of us. Can I hear an amen? Because it's not hard to start losing fire. But if you've lost your fire,
well, you know, I was offended. The pastor didn't wave at me coming down the driveway.
That means you've lost your fire. Because who gives a flying leap if the pastor waves at you coming down the driveway as long as you got the Holy Ghost inside the house? See, that picky stuff shows you've lost your faith and your fire. You got to get back with Jesus, man, like you've never been before. And you know, we can help you here. We're going to pray for you. But really, where that changes is you. Number one, faith and good conscience. If you're living in sin, repent. What's repent mean? Turn away from. When you choose not to turn away from your sin, you're saying, I love my sin more than I love my God. The fire will always start getting wet. Listen, I'm not, everybody likes to look at somebody else. Look at your own life. Mind your stinking business. He who's without sin, let him cast the first stone. Figure out your own heart. Figure out the fire quencher in your life. You see, when you and I do this, everything changes around us because we then become infectious. We then become, listen now, when I want to start a fire, I start something and I can light something else from it. God wants to use your life to light somebody else up. God wants to use your life to save the people that you love and that you care about and that God has surrounded you with. But that cannot happen if the devil is on this diabolical attack. This assignment against your life is bringing you into the slow descent of witchcraft, of the spiral that's going to destroy you spiritually. We've got to make a decision. I know where I was, and thank God where I was, but I'm going further, not backwards. I'm refusing to stay where I'm at. I'm going to go after God with all my heart. I'm going to follow Jesus with everything in me, and I refuse to step back. If you'll do that, man, it doesn't really matter what anybody else does. You see, my walk with the Lord, I don't get to hear people preach every week. I got to preach every week. My walk with God is sustained by my relationship with Jesus. And that's ultimately how it works. Thank God for the house of the Lord, the corporate anointing, the corporate presence of the Lord. But if you're doing nothing at home, listen, honey, you can't have a marriage sustained if you're doing nothing at home. And if you're making a monthly visitation, your roommates. I have to say, it's 37. I just want you to know I'm concerned. Fight the good fight of faith. That's found in 1 Timothy 6:12. Can I just want to say this to you? Ready? You know what the word fight means? Taking part in a violent struggle involving physical or force weapons. Some of you got to fight for your faith. You've let it go so far at this point in time, you got to get up and start fighting. And it's going to get violent, for the violent take it by force. You're going to have to start eliminating things in your life to make sure that God is prioritized in your life, or you might be catastrophically lost and shipwrecked. There's nothing worse than seeing a boat where it should float under the water. Where are you? Where's your boat floating? You got a small leak. Your bilge pump is handling it right now. But be careful. Over time, the erosion, the hole gets larger, and soon enough, the bilge won't work. You can grab a bucket all you want, baby. But you ain't gonna make it without Jesus. I don't know where you're at. That's not between me and you. That's between you and Jesus. I can pray for you. And listen, you need to know as your pastor, I genuinely, truly, my wife and I and the staff here at His Tabernacle, we love you. We genuinely love you. And if we could do anything, but I've found that doesn't work. People don't respond, not unless they make their own choice. Two people married come to my office. One says, I want a divorce. They tell me their problems. I look at them and say, this is fixable. This is easy. This is normal marriage junk you're dealing with. It's normal. And they look at me and say, that one says, I'm done. Jesus can show up in bunny shoes, but until that person makes a decision, they're not done. They're done. Until you make a decision, you're not done. You're going to be shipwrecked. There's nothing worse than ending up in hell, which is the holding tank for the lake of fire, and realizing you put yourself right there and there's no way out. I just want to challenge you this morning as your pastor. I don't like heavy messages. I like to be fun and funny. But there are times we just gotta, hey, come on now. Come on! Hey! You! Yeah. Wake up!
But until you respond, there's nothing anybody can do. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, listen, I don't have magic charms up my sleeve, and I don't have a religion for you to join, but I got a Jesus who's real. And you know you had him. He changed your life. Genuinely changed your life. And now you're a flicker and not a flame. Now you're not even passionate anymore. Today you want God to breathe on you. You want the fire, the fuego of heaven to burn in your spirit again. God, I need the fire. I need your fire. I need your fire. God, I need you to burn in my spirit. Man, today's your day. You know, at this point, I could care less about the collision that's going to happen in the parking lot. I care more about the collision that happens in your heart. Because I can be on time and you can lose all time. Today, my question is this. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today's your day, man. This is the day you need the fire of God breathed in your heart. And you'll be changed forever, man. He's real. He's powerful. He loves you. He loves you even in your mess, and he'll change your mess, make you so blessed. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long because I don't have time. Come on. 5, 4, 3, 2, and last call. Today, if you're a saint and you've watched your fire, the fire of God, slowly dwindle in your life, and you want God to breathe in you again, I want you to raise your hand up now. Amen. Hands are up. Well, listen, I'd love to run out and grab you because you haven't even raised your hand yet, and I know you're there. I can look at you. Wake up! Let's all stand to our feet. Today, how can I keep the fire burning? Keep putting the wood on the fire. Stay in the Word every single day. Talk to Jesus every single day. Be faithful to the house of God. Join a ministry. Why? Because when you start giving, you're not just a taker, and God fills you up even more. Do something. God will fuel your fire, and baby, you'll become dangerous to the devil. And man, he's afraid of you. Amen? I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If I could have the prayer team move quickly. Move quickly. Come on, pastors. Move. Prayer team. Al, come on. Let's go. Come on. All hands on deck. We're going to need some men to be ushers. But I pray that if your fire is flickering and you want it to be a flame again, a raging forest fire, I'm going to ask you to be brave. I want you to step out of your chair, man. Get on up here to the house of God. Let's get hands laid on you. Let's get ministered to. Let's have God change your life. Listen, there's far more. Here's the key. If you actually care what people think and say about you, you have deeper issues that we can pray out. Amen? This is your moment, your time. You need the fire of God. Father, I just release your anointing in the house in the name of Jesus. God, the fuego, the fire of heaven be released in this house in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for the miracles. We thank you for the salvations. But God, we need to be sustained. Lord, keep the fire burning in our spirit. There he is. Go, Jesus. Go, Jesus. Go, Jesus. Go, Jesus. Lord, I speak blessing over this house in Jesus' name. For Lord, it's your house, your tabernacle, not any of ours. But Lord, we are the people of your home. And Lord, we thank you for being real to us. Burn in our spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you need to go, I love you. Please, if you've not made your way up front, this is you. Grab somebody. Get ministered to in the name of Jesus.